Welcome to Maggie O'Brien's. I'm Eddie McVeigh here from Maggie O'Brien's with my good friend Joe Zanaboni, our very own St. Louis City broadcaster. Joseph, how are you, my friend?
Thank you so much for having me back, Eddie. I'm doing really well. It's been a fun night at City Park, and happy to join you once again.
As always, this is exciting. We just started doing this after the last game, halfway through the season. If anybody's wondering what's going on, myself, Eddie McVeigh from Maggie O'Brien's, we being myself and my friend Joe Zanaboni, the broadcaster here for our very own St. Louis City. He comes over after every home game. We sit right inside here at Maggie O'Brien's, and we talk a little bit of soccer. Sometimes we get off topic, but that's okay too, right, Joe?
It's okay by me if it's okay by you.
Absolutely.
Anything to get under these glowing neon lights of Maggie O's.
Amen, Joe. I was at the game. I was at the game tonight. St. Louis City versus L.A. And you gave me a bunch of L.A. 4X49.
LAFC. LAFC.
But we came to a draw. Joey, give me your thoughts tonight.
Yeah, overall it's positive. Bradley Carnell has talked about putting positive points on the board. And City's going to stay two results clear of LAFC. This was a battle tonight of the top two in the West. City entered with 49, LAFC entered with 43. Each team picks up a point. Now LAFC's played one less game than City. So keeping them two clean results shy of first place is really a win, I think, for St. Louis. Going to end the night probably officially in the playoffs. We're waiting on a few results to come through. But basically, it's signed, sealed, delivered to get into the postseason. Now it's about winning the Western Conference. And this is another step toward it. St. Louis becomes the first team in the Western Conference to 50. I thought it was a hard-fought game. I thought both teams had really good chances. And there's one or two that almost snuck in for Edward Leuven. There were a couple of great moments for Roman Berkey. All in all, to take the reigning champs the distance, emerge at the point, I see that as a positive.
I agree with that, but my thought was tonight as I watched the game, it was kind of a little bit, they almost kind of played it like we did. And what I mean by that is when there were counterattacks. So typically you wouldn't think in most sports the less you have the ball, the better you do. But you brought that up in our last conversation we had last week. But that's typically where when St. Louis City succeeds. I felt like tonight as I watched the game, and I don't know all the numbers now before that they put all that out. But
trust me, neither do I, Eddie.
It seemed like they did a very nice job on the counterattack as well.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't argue that LAFC has the most talented striking group in the Western Conference. I mean, they had a lot of guys going. Christian Olivero is giving us all kinds of problems on the right side. Of course, there's Denny Buongo, who I know is on a plane ride back right now, ruining a couple of chances that he sent over the bar. Carlos Vela came off the bench. That's a former Arsenal player coming off the bench for LAFC. They're unbelievably talented, and they did a great job in the transition and the counterattack to put pressure on St. Louis City, and it took a fantastic effort, I thought, in the back tonight from Tim Parker and Joachim Nielsen. Obviously, Berkey's the man of the match, but Parker and Nielsen in the middle, heading balls and clearing balls away almost perfectly tonight to get the scoreless draw.
Without a doubt, Berkey, I feel like, stepped up like he has done all year long. But Parker tonight, and I don't know that it was always the first touch, but I feel like every time it was just kind of there where you were starting to think, uh-oh, he was there to just either clear the ball or do just enough to get the ball out.
I mean, he had about 25 head balls in Houston last weekend, which was also a hard-earned draw for City at 1-1. And he's just been stellar, clogging things up in the back. There was a moment at the end he headed a ball over the bar. He thought he had a chance at a corner in the final minute of stoppage time, second half. He's been so good on that side as well. I mean, Tim Parker, to me, represents everything that's great about St. Louis soccer. And tonight, though I know he wants that one in the last minute back, he's got so much to be proud of for helping this team get to 50 points.
Joe, I do not think, I look for this in any sport, I do not think St. Louis City is playing not to lose. They were playing their game tonight, and they are always looking to counter. I did not feel like they were looking to just going to sit back and clear the ball. I felt like they were still playing their game, and when the counter was available, they were going.
And you can't be hesitant because the Western Conference is tighter than that spandex onesie I wore to my cousin's bridal shower. I mean, it is way, way tight. over here in the West, and anything could happen down the stretch of the season. City could win the conference, get home field advantage. Possibly someone else could emerge, though it seems like the pieces are falling in place for City to make that run, as long as the team, to your point, stays aggressive and keeps playing to win.
My whole thought on that is that when it really comes down to it, they are not, at this point at least, changing the way they're playing the game, because they've gotten there, they're moving the ball forward, they're scoring the goals when they can, and they are not all of a sudden out of nowhere going, you know what, we're the new team in the league, we better watch what happens, let's back off and let's just get into the playoffs.
Sure.
I do not feel like they're playing like that, and last week's game to me says that perfectly, and once again, guess who scores a goal?
That João Klaus. I mean, it's the Klaus effect. To have him back has made all the difference. City went down to Houston. That's one of the toughest places to play in the MLS. Houston had lost just twice there in 13 games when we came down, and it looked like we were dead to rights, Eddie. I'm not going to say I gave up hope, but things were getting a little bit bleak late, down 1-0. Klaus, with 3 minutes to go, ended up heading home a ball that was initially saved by Steve Clark, the Houston goalie, and that made a huge bit of difference. It was a tie there for City. It's also a tie the week before against the Galaxy. This has become a little bit of a trend over the last few weeks. Three straight ties, first time that's happened for St. Louis City this year or any time in St. Louis City's history. But the tiebreaker in the West is wins, and St. Louis has piled up significantly more wins than the opponents that are chasing, like Seattle and LAFC. So ahead in points, and also critically ahead in that wins column fairly comfortably as well, which might determine who gets that top spot.
Briefly, before we get back to St. Louis City, let's talk USA Soccer, which we just had them here in St. Louis. USA, Uzbekistan, give me your thoughts, Joe Zanaboni.
Well, first off, I wish that I could have been at the game personally. It was September 9th, that was a Saturday, and City was traveling out to L.A. for that game. It was a rare Sunday matchup with the Galaxy, so kind of losing a day for travel while USA and Uzbekistan used City Park. And I think that was a great chance for this city to see Tim Ream. That really is the first and foremost thing I think of, U.S. men's national team.
We're very proud of Tim Ream.
Yeah, I mean, to do what he's done, and to play in the
Premier League, exception.
And to never give up, because he's one of those rare soccer guys who really started to blossom in his 30s. And now, by soccer standards, I think he's 36, so he's considered ancient. But he continues to play really the best soccer of his career. And to get him back here, just as we had Benki Sauerbrunn here in April, to get him back here in front of the home fans, I think that's what everyone will remember. It was a good result for USA. 3-0, though nothing was assured until late against Uzbekistan. But for me, that'll always be the Tim Ream dream.
I agree with that. But here's the thing. Every St. Louis boy or girl is going, if they're from St. Louis, they're going to root for our St. Louis guys and gals. And there's no reason not to root for Tim Ream. God, it's so cool to see. Once again, I'm a St. Louis bar owner. You're a St. Louis broadcaster, and we got a St. Louis guy on the USA team. How cool is that? Root for him. It doesn't happen a lot. And the same thing with Becky. To have her as long as she was on that USA women's team.
Sure.
What an absolute star in the cap of St. Louis.
It's a great city to be a defender named Tim in, as we found with Tim Ream and Tim Parker. And there's many, many more moments like that to come, whether it's Tim Ream, Benki Sauerbrunn, some of these other great stars who have passed through here. Talking about U.S. men's national team, Taylor Twellman was on the call tonight. Tim Twellman was in the stadium as well. And there were so many former U.S. men's national team members who were with us at City Park for that USA versus Uzbekistan game. City is in the top three as far as cities in America. St. Louis is in the top three as far as producing players on the U.S. men's national team. I mean, so many faces showed up at City Park, from Ty Keogh to Jamie Swanner. Great characters from the past and present who continue to show that St. Louis truly is the soccer capital of America.
And Joe, let me tell you something. If you got to score a goal tomorrow and you need a St. Louis guy, I'll take Taylor Twellman every day
of
the
Taylor
week. How about the Twellman or Tim Twellman? You can't even, every time you say the name Twellman, somebody was kicking the ball in the goal or keeping it out of the goal. Hell, I don't know. But you want to talk about an absolute dynasty here in St. Louis. That's that family. And they are proud people to be from St. Louis. They
really
love St. Louis. And I would take him any day of the week. If I had to score one goal and you said you better pick a guy from St. Louis, I'll take Taylor Drummond.
I might take Tim. He looks like he's in his late 30s.
Right.
He's part of the St. Louis City Outreach, Community Outreach Program. And he looks like he could still get out there on the field. Obviously, he's known maybe now more as being Taylor's dad. But in his own day, in his own time, boy, was he a heck of a player.
Without a doubt. And all athletes. Anyway, shout out to the Twelman family. Joe, okay. We still are sitting at the top right now. St. Louis City still sitting at the top. Do me a favor. I do this to you every week. Please break this down for me now.
Okay.
What we've got coming and how does this work moving forward, please. And, hey, if anybody's sitting out there, all three of you wondering, this is Eddie McVay from Maggie O'Brien's.
Sure.
Just sitting here with my good friend Joey Zanaboni, the broadcaster from St. Louis City. We're here at Maggie O'Brien's. Come in anytime after the game. You're going to get to see Joe, get to see me. Nobody wants to see me. And have a drink, have a cocktail, have something. Right. Everybody comes over to see. But come over and see us. That's who's talking right now. So anyway, I'm going to go back to my question, Joe. Take it from there. Where are we now? Where do we go from here if it all works the way we're hoping?
Yeah, nothing's assured officially as of yet, but St. Louis City SC will be in the MLS playoffs. That is 99.9999% over and done with. The question really is, will City host, and for how long will it host? Up by 5 points here, now over Seattle, 6 points over LAFC, and then there's really a mountain of teams lurking after them in the chase for the top spot in the Western Conference. There's four regular season games to go for St. Louis City SC. That varies a little bit for the other teams, but right now it's a multi-result lead.
Joe, say that again. You say there's four to go.
And I
believe I know we have a Saturday night coming, so we've got two more at home.
The biggest Saturday night you can have against Sporting Kansas. That'll be September 30th. First, though, head to Minnesota on the 23rd. That's a 7:30 game this Saturday. Come back home a week later against Sporting KC for the third matchup of the season between the two teams. October 4th, really interesting matchup out in Vancouver. Long trip, and Vancouver is right on the edge of the top four right now in the Western Conference. They're trying to surge late and then finally close out the regular season October 21st against a Seattle team that right now is in second place. That once again will be right here at City Park. It's hard to believe that we're basically done with the regular season the first year for St. Louis City. All the chips seem to have fallen in place for City to clinch home field advantage in the Western Conference.
Joe,
straight to the schedule,
Joey,
is quite robust.
If we do, without putting you completely on the spot, but you know what I do. I put you on the spot. Joey, if we do, if all goes exactly the way we want and we keep moving this thing forward and we are in first place, can you please explain how that will... Because you explained to me last time, I might have been drunk, but I get confused.
Right.
Please explain to me again, how would that work if we move forward? Because the other thing that I'm curious about is, out of nowhere, we discussed it last time, and I know the likelihood of it would be astronomical, but also, where's Miami during all of this? And I think it's only at the very end. But get to Miami at the end. Start with, if we continually keep the first spot, what happens?
If City finishes first in the Western Conference, then City will have home field advantage through the playoffs and potentially all the way through the MLS Cup final. The MLS playoffs basically change every year. The MLS basically adds one team as an expansion team basically every year, so there has to be some adjustment made to the postseason. What it is this year, I think, is the best format they've had in a long time. The 8 and 9 seeds will play a play-in game after the regular season ends on October 21st. There's a play-in game, and then from there, there's a best-of-3 series, 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7. It would be home for City, then one road game, and then one home game if necessary. After that, there's a week break, so the three-game series would be October 28th to November 12th. There's a week break, and then on November 25th, you'd have the conference semifinal. December 3rd, it's the conference final. MLS Cup Championship is the final. All those are one game apiece. City could potentially host all if they have the best record remaining.
Okay, two parts to this. One is the first, if you just flew through that and I was trying to keep up, but one, do we, so if we're in and we're number one, we've got a two, we have a best of three series with us with the home advantage. But then from there, that stops.
Well, the home advantage could continue, but the best of three stops.
But the best of three stops. Then it's first elimination.
Then it's just one game on November 25th. But if you win that, it goes to conference final.
But everything that we do, as long as we're winning and we're about, we keep that home field.
It, yeah, and I mean, against
come any Western. Come on, St. Louis. You know where you're going, Maggie O'Brien.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great position to be in. Against any Western Conference team, we'd have the home advantage. You get into the MLS Cup, that's a one-game championship in early December. As long as you have more points than the other team, then you get the home advantage. You were talking about Miami.
What are the chances? That's just out of curiosity.
Miami is a few points out of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference. Obviously, they started out the season just absolutely horrible. They were the worst team in the league. They ended up scraping the bottom of the barrel. And
they added somebody.
Adding Leo Messi and Sergio Busquets and Jordi Alba. I mean, it's the bottom of the barrel here, Eddie, but they've been able to revitalize these guys' careers. And now they're surging. They lost a game in Atlanta last weekend. Messi didn't play. But overall, they're surging. And you have to wonder how Pat Noonan, this is a good St. Louis soccer
name. St. Louis boy, I believe this met.
He's the head coach of FC Cincinnati. And Cincinnati's had the best season in their franchise history. They are just about 60 points on the year, leading the Eastern Conference and leading the Supporters Shield standings. That's best record in the MLS in the regular season. How would you like to be Pat? You've had this dream season. You think we're the top overall seed in the MLS Cup, and then your first draw is Inter Miami. If they get in, they're probably going to be seeded somewhere 7-9. So it's a very real possibility. From our perspective, wouldn't that be wonderful if they could take care of Cincinnati on the other side and lead to a collision course, Leo Messi versus St. Louis City in downtown West St. Louis come early December?
I love it, and we look forward to seeing you all down at the soccer stadium.
And I'm curious to know your thoughts on this, Eddie. If I had told you at the start of the year that the two best attackers in the MLS would be a 6'3 Brazilian whose name is Klaus, he looks like he's in his early 40s, but he's in his mid-20s, or Leo Messi, which one would you be more likely to believe?
I would have said Messi, but I wouldn't have believed he was going to be on any of the teams either, so I wouldn't have believed. But I told you this last week when we talked. One of the things that has stood out to me, and I believe it's a reason, and you can take it whether it's the Cardinals, the Blues, and now St. Louis City, this team has done next guy up. Yeah. When Klaus went out, I was the first one. First of all, once he was scoring away, well, I said, there's no way this guy could keep it up. Nobody believed those first four or five games that was going to continue. No one thought but they did. Then, like I said, even the national guys, you'd hear them on FS1, FS2, whatever, they were saying, these guys are for real now. You're six games in. This is real. Klaus was, without exception, a standout.
Yep.
But then as soon as he went down, we start thinking to ourselves, all right, now we've got a real issue because he was such a standout. Then we go from that to we can't not score a set piece.
Yeah.
And then we go from that to everybody's stepping up in these positions that are going to the forwards or the midfield and scoring goals. It literally became next guy up. And because of it, I believe we're where we're at. And then as soon as he comes back, he scores a goal. It's almost, it was unbelievable, but he comes back and scores a goal last week.
I mean, 18 different goal scorers this season for a St. Louis team that's in the top two in the MLS overall in scoring. There's been a lot of different faces who have stepped up. Nico Gioacchini is in the golden boot race. He's got 10 goals. Sam Adeniran had a stretch where he scored in 6 of 7 games. Obviously, Edward Lubin has been playing pretty much on par to be on the MLS best 11 the entire season. So it's so cool how they've stepped up.
And Lubin's set pieces.
Unreal.
I mean, for real. I don't care what level it is. You're not going to see that regularly. I mean, and that's what I told you the last game. I was so happy to see, because we had some set pieces that game, the last game, and not the last game here in St. Louis. And we ended up scoring 2 goals by playing the ball to the corner, crossing it, and scoring the old school way. Because typically we've been scoring on these set pieces like it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen.
I mean, best in the MLS in that category. And going back.
By far the best.
Oh, yeah. I mean, other than maybe Messi, there's no one else you'd want to take your free kicks and your restarts at Edward Lubin. And him and Tim Parker have been such an amazing combination. Remember this, Tim Parker has played in the MLS for, I believe this is his eighth season. Prior to this year, he had scored 2 goals in the MLS. This year, he scored 4, every single one of them on head balls, and he's part of a very elite group in the MLS. He's top 2 in that category. They do track how many goals you score off your head. So, it's been this tool that's in the arsenal for Bradley Carnell and the St. Louis team. They have kind of a breakdown where they want to score 60% of their goals on takeaways from the other team. Obviously, that's where the high press comes in. And then 10% of the goals from possession and buildup. The other 30%, this is what they were aiming for at the start of the season, should come from set pieces. They actually have ended up scoring about 35 to 40% of the goals on the set pieces, so they've totally blown it out of the water.
I'm just saying, as a season ticket holder, that I am down low. I'm not trying to be, oh, I'm down on a, in the first row. If you ever want to see, he could put pads on, buddy. That Parker, when you see him go by with the ball or stop the play or whatever, that's a man.
Sure is.
That is a man out there. And I feel like so many of the other guys on the other team realize that real quick when it's time to actually interact. That is a real man out there playing that position, that stopper position. That being said, and then to bring him forward for the head balls and stuff, once again, when you're going forward as a stopper and you're going to go for a head ball, you're going there because you're physical enough to get up there and get the head ball, and he clearly can do it.
He's a man, and he's from the same hometown as the Piano Man. I don't know if you knew this, Eddie, but Tim Parker
is still
the second most famous person from Hicksville, New York. The most famous person he will grudgingly concede is Billy Joel.
Billy Joel. I think he made a couple songs. All right, now, here's the deal. Joey Zanaboni here, right here in Maggie O'Brien's. Eddie McVay here from Maggie O'Brien's. Joey, first of all, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
How was
your sandwich? He's having a shamrock.
That's shamrock.
Our steak sandwich on garlic cheese bread.
This is my favorite thing you have here.
Right.
It is absolutely delicious. Little water with lemon. And I can't be more thankful to get over here after a long night, calling a game and just sinking my teeth into a delicious, delicious dish.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know this. I did not drink water with lemon. I have been here before the game. I was here during the game. Actually, I went to the game, and now I'm here after the game. But I drank something with lemon in it, but it was not water. Joey, I appreciate you always getting that, but I do have to ask you the next time, please order something different. If you come to Maggie O'Brien's, we always have food late night. We go all the way to 2 a.m., especially on the weekends, 2 a.m. We got some music on Friday and Saturday nights. And, hey, guys, if everybody's ever heard of, and I'm sure you've heard of him, that one guy. Hey, Todd, will you come over and say hello?
Here you go.
That one guy from the Cardinals, Todd Thomas. Say hello, Todd.
Hey, what's going on?
So Todd Thomas, everybody knows Todd from that one guy. He's the guy that walks around and says, hey, how are you? Let me ask you, who was the starting quarterback and blah, 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 whatever. But he's the guy that makes fun of everybody at the Cardinal Stadium, and we got him right here at Maggie O'Brien's. Todd, thank you for coming in.
Hey, man, I'm glad to be here. I'm going to tell you what, this is amazing down here. My first time to see all this. This is electric. I'm not a soccer guy, but I am now. I want to go to a game.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Our own buddy Todd Thomas is in Maggie's, and he wants to go to the ball game now, the soccer game now, because he actually sees the hype down here. Todd, tell me the one difference between right now at Maggie O'Brien's before a soccer game and before a Cardinal game.
I can't tell you because we're after a soccer game, so I know the difference. Don't try to diss me like that, buddy. I know the difference. I'll tell you this: this is amazing. The energy in here. You're doing a podcast right now. I didn't know you knew how to talk.
I really don't actually. But I just keep making this up as I go along. But hey, it's pretty cool for us here at Maggie O'Brien's. Have somebody like Todd that comes in, hangs out. He's a good friend. He's here at Maggie's. Please come in and see us. You know, we truly appreciate it. Joey, let's put a little finishing touch on this as we move this forward. Schedule-wise, and then where do we truly go from here, and how do you foresee this playing out?
Yeah, make sure you tune in Saturday, 7:30 kickoff, live from Minnesota on Y98. Myself, Dale Schilly, will be up there calling the action as St. Louis takes on the Loons. The second time this year, Minnesota United was actually the first team to ever beat St. Louis City in the MLS regular season. City started 5-0. We were here at City Park, and there was a really controversial call. Now, we don't know anything about really controversial calls tonight against LAFC. Back then, there was a controversial handball that was awarded to Minnesota. They got a penalty kick with about 10 minutes left way back when in the spring when the season was very, very young. That was maybe a little bit of a trend. We talked about tonight there were a couple handballs that were not whistled against LAFC. One of them was actually whistled that overturned somehow, some way. We're still trying to make heads or tails of it via VAR. But, you know, the bottom line thing, I think, Eddie, is that City, my hope for the team, my desire for the team, my wish for the team, is just to remember they're in the driver's seat. They are 5 points ahead with four games to go in the regular season. There was not a single expert, quote-unquote, to pick them to be here at the end of the year, and yet everything is in their hands. They're a better team than Minnesota. They're a better team than Sporting Kansas, which is coming here on September 30th. And so despite some bad calls and despite some games that are still positives, obviously it's been a little while, though, since the last win, August 30th, three straight ties for City, stay right there, understanding that this team's in control, and this team could very, very possibly be hosting all the way through the playoffs.
St. Louis City is in the spot we want to be in. Who'd have thunk it? I asked you the last time. Who'd have thunk it? And are they happy? And I know we discussed that back and forth. They've got to be tickled because, like I said, I can't imagine if they just were at the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
St. Louis wouldn't still be tickled about this whole thing. But the fact that we're still in first, and not just in first, we're in first and holding it, truly.
Good.
Right, we're truly holding it. So, hey, yeah. St. Louis, please do us a favor. Come on down to Maggie O'Brien's, either to before the game, after the game, or if you don't have a ticket, during the game. We got the games on everywhere. We got food for you. We got drinks for you. We got music after the fact. You get to, especially during, if it's a home game, come say hello to Joe Zanaboni, your own broadcaster here from St. Louis. I'm Eddie McVeigh from Maggie O'Brien's. We can't thank you enough. Please come in and see us. We look forward to seeing you. Go St. Louis City. And go Maggie O'Brien's. And thank you, Joey Zanaboni.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, brother.